Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope you had an outstanding weekend and sure appreciate you jumping in here to start another week with a great trip report. We're taking you down to Walt Disney World this past July, just a few months ago, with listener Julie out in Pittsburgh. That's right. She's in the home of Pam Forrester or the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we talk about her trip with her three kids, teens and preteens, staying at three resorts. We talk Riviera. We talk Grand Estino Tower over at Coronado. We talk Copper Creek at Wilderness Lodge. Great times in the theme parks. Why the community rooms at the DVC resorts are pretty awesome. We talk pools. We talk dining. It's a great show to get you out the door and down the road. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They are a premium earmarked agency, which means they're going to be one of the best out there to take care of all your Disney trip planning needs. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It sure helps us out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out four times a week all around the world. It's because of your support. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. For more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1968 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Yes, it is now that time of the year where you need to, well, I think here's the time of the year, at least in the Midwest. Let me just kind of explain this. And I think our guest Julie can also kind of relate to this because she's out in Pittsburgh. We'll get her in here in just a second. But I think this is the time of year where, you know, football has started, kind of a big deal in Pittsburgh. It's a big deal here. I mean, not in St. Louis, but in Missouri for the Tigers. But the thing is, I kind of want it to get cool. Like, I have my hoodies, like, on the standby. I have, you know, Paige got me some cool sweats from Mizzou to wear once it cools off. And, you know, I'm thinking of bonfires and all that great stuff, but it's still, like, 90. So even though the calendar says September, hang in there. We're going to get some cool days here soon, and we'll be complaining about it like Pam Forrester before you know it. So today, we are going to have a good time talking about a recent trip down to Walt Disney World with our listener, Julie. Julie, how's it going out in Pittsburgh?
Oh, it's great. And I am also desperate for that cooler weather. We were just talking about how it goes from like winter to summer. You get a few days of spring, back to summer, then to fall for like 2 days, and then surprise summer, and then back to winter.
Right. And you're a fellow runner. So I'm telling you what, when you wake up some morning and you see that it's like in the 50s, it's truly a gift from God. You know, after you run, it's 75 and muggy, and you're just like, why is my pace so slow? And then you put out the same amount of effort on a morning where it's like 53 or something. You're like, holy cow, sign me up for the Olympics. It's crazy.
You do a little cheer. We were just talking about that the other day. I'm with you.
It's amazing. Yeah, I'm one of those people. Before I go to bed every night, I pull out dark sky and look at the, I only look at the low temperatures because I run in the morning. Okay, what's it going to be when I run? Because I'm not going to be out there when it's 92. So anyway, all right, let's get into your trip. Actually, before we do that, we got the 50th coming up. I mean, it is like, it's imminent. It's right on top of us. I actually need to start packing because I'm heading down here soon. So let me ask you the question that I have asked everybody else in the last few months. If you could bring back any promotion, attraction, restaurant, theme, anything from the past 50 years at Walt Disney World, what would you bring back?
Well, I think you'll appreciate this, although I don't think you had the chance to ride it. Horizons would be my pick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't remember it 100% because I rode it when I was younger, but it was sort of like the Mad Dash in Magic Kingdom for Dumbo. You would mad dash to the Imagination Pavilion. And it was so neat the way they had this interactive room, which now that's commonplace, the stuff that they had in there. But you had these big pens for Figment and these pins you would push up. I don't know if anybody remembers those, but it was the neatest thing. But then you'd head right over to Horizons. And I'm not a real speed person, so coasters aren't necessarily my favorite. And I just remember loving that ride as a child. And I wish I had a chance to experience it now.
Right.
So that's what I'd bring back.
I think I was there one time while Horizons was still around, but it was right at the end. And it was one of those things. It was almost like a ghost town over there. Like nobody was heading over there. I think I read the description of it and thought, and it's one of those things like, God, Mike, if I could go back, like stupid Mike back then, why didn't I take that in just for the historical value and to have some perspective? You know, and I've listened to many shows that have explained what the experience was like. I've seen videos. But again, you know, I think as Disney fans, we have that nostalgia for the stuff that we actually got to experience. And we talk about it all the time. It's, you know, a track. If you're not a Disney fan, you just happen to stumble upon today's show. This is going to sound weird. But certain attractions have just a feel to them. You know, when you're inside the building, like almost the temperature on your skin, the smell. And I think, I know that sounds weird, but it's true. Go on Pirates. But, I wish I could have told myself, you know what? Spend 20 minutes, take it up, you know, go experience this. And because it was gone, obviously, by the time I became a huge Disney fan. So I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, I would love to ride it again, but... Yeah, you know, I'd settle for some other things, little things. There was one in Epcot too. I think it was If I Had Wings.
Yes.
That I guess that whole nostalgia for Epcot, I would like to bring all of that back.
Right. Okay. So let me ask you one other thing. What's your background with Disney? You said you were down there, you know, a lot previous. So how'd you kind of grow up and fall in love with Disney that you're listening to a show like this?
When I was young, back in the 70s, my grandparents had a condominium in Bradenton, Florida. So we would go down there to visit them. They went down seasonally and we'd go down to visit. And when we first started, we went for one day. We'd just drive up to Magic Kingdom. You had the ticket booklets and all of that. And then we just would start to go every year to visit. And we'd usually attach a day or two at Disney. And of course, by the time I was in high school in the early 90s, we were going for a week because there was so much more to do. And we stayed on property for the first time. I think in like 1992 when Caribbean Beach Resort had just opened. So I just had a love of that. And it was just such good family memories. And then there was a little hiatus in there, I think, when many of us mm-hmm. take a break from Disney, when we're early 20s, mid 20s. And then I started going back with my sister's family when she had kids. And then once I had kids, we ended up buying Vacation Club points. So it became a real love. And this trip was the first time we'd been back since the pandemic. So it was special on a different level, even though there were different things.
The world gave us all a little break. You know, even if you didn't want to take one, you're taking one, said 2020. So let's talk about your trip that we're going to kind of focus on for today's show. So when did you head down? Actually, tell us when you headed down and then kind of how it came about as far as the planning. Because I love to hear about like why you decide to go, when you go, and all the behind the scenes stuff before you actually get there. So how'd that all turn out?
So we headed down at the end of July, right when the mask requirements were going from no masks to having masks again indoors, which actually suited my family pretty well because I have two kids who are not of vaccination age. So I wasn't disappointed about that. I know some people were, but it worked for us. I have three kids. So it was myself and my three children, 13, just turned 13, just turned 11, and a 9-year-old. So I've been taking them on my own for the last 5+ years. So we've kind of figured it out how it works for us. And we hadn't been, and we had vacation points to use, which I know some of your listeners can appreciate. Yeah. But we also sort of had this... we didn't have annual passes for the first time in so long. So that's when I reached out to you, Mike, and was like, help.
I know. People are having to solve problems they've never had to solve before over the last year, which that was one of them, right? And, you know, we now welcome back annual passes, but now you got to memorize the 4-level names. You know, I just don't want credit pass because that's me. That's the only one I can get. Yeah, so you're exactly right. So you guys got to do a little bit of different planning, but I mean, you know, it's not that difficult and you got it squared away and you guys got to get down there. So... The kids are at the perfect age, man. I mean, that is it. Like, I'm sure they were antsy to get out of the house and have some fun. So what impact did they have on the planning itself before you got there? Did you ask them like what they wanted to do, like, and develop a plan?
Oh, I asked them sort of what their top three rides would be at each park, what they'd be disappointed about. We talked about park hoppers, and I thought, oh, I don't need park hoppers. We can do one park. But then I realized we've kind of had park hoppers at the annual passes for so long. And I was listening to you and Ricky and Pam speak, and I thought, I think these park hoppers are going to be essential. I am so grateful that I heeded everyone's advice and got the park hoppers. because as we, I'm sure we'll talk about, they became essential. So I asked them, like, what restaurant would you want to eat that's open? And I also said, we're probably not going to eat indoors a lot because our comfort level wasn't 100% with that. And I asked them sort of where they wanted to stay. I'd reached out to you for a couple of options at the beginning of the trip, looking more on the moderate level. And then DVC wise, it was sort of what's available because we were not super far out from the trip when I sort of was able to pull this all together just based on scheduling. But we had a wait list come through. So we ended up at Grandestino Tower, which was our first time there for a couple nights, which we booked with you. And then we headed over to the Riviera, which was a wait list that came through. And then we ended at Copper Creek Villas at, well, we had a studio, but Copper Creek at Wilderness Lodge for our final night.
Okay, so I obviously, you guys know, I love the resorts. I love the theme parks a lot, but I, you know, I think it's because getting older. Like, I can only do Space Mountain so many times before I'd feel like, you know, I got to call Celebration Hospital, come pick me out of the rocket. Yeah, it stinks to get old. It's coming quickly. But so tell us about those three resorts and what the kids thought too. See, Grandestino, I mean, Riviera is pretty awesome. I mean, it and the thing is, Riviera, I was so like just bored by when it was being built. I'm just like, oh, I'll never get excited about that dumb hotel. It's a big tower and it's French and I'm as far from fancy as you can get. I kind of do like that hotel. And you also mentioned Copper Creek, and that's a pretty unique little situation at Wilderness Lodge. So kind of just give us an overview of the thoughts of, especially in a triple split stay, you know, hey, there, you got to be a Disney expert to pull that one off.
Well, my kids and I are pretty, we end up with split stays a lot. One trip, we actually moved rooms every night for a week.
No, I did Pam Forrester style right there. That, you know, that's even beyond my pay grade. I need to,
that,
you know,
that wasn't my favorite in all fairness. But this actually worked out really well. Grandestino, I had never stayed at Coronado. It's probably the only resort I hadn't really stayed at. And so just being around there was a really neat feel. And Grandestino Tower, we loved. This is going to sound silly, but the elevators.
Oh, God. Well, here's my problem, though. You got to stay at least a couple nights because it takes you like 2 days to understand how the elevators work. If you do like one night, you'll be like, oh, man, it's like when you're on a cruise ship. You finally figure out where stuff is, and then it's like time to get off the ship. So, no, I get it. The elevators are sweet, though.
And the Skyliner. You don't undersell. I mean, your enthusiasm for the Skyliner. It was the first time the last time we were there, it was in testing, but no one was riding it yet. So this was our first experience with it. And we loved it. Yes. So we actually, the first day we were going to Magic Kingdom, not on our arrival day, we just stayed at the around the resort, but we were going to Magic Kingdom. And then we decided to take a break at the hotel, which is a very popular strategy for our family. And we got to Hollywood Studios to kind of go back for the night, key of the park hopper. And they were like, can we just ride the Skyliner? And I'm like, yes. Yeah. And that's not a Grandestino. I realize that's at Riviera, but that's when we first experienced it, when we were at our Grandestino stay. And that is what sold Riviera for us. I mean, there's many things we liked about the Riviera, but having that Skyliner access and just being able to hop on, it is brilliant. It's a fun ride too.
That's it. I mean, because I was down there the weekend the Skyliner opened, because I was so in on this. You know, I went down, there was something else that I can't remember, something else opened that same weekend. But I went down just to, you know, for like 3 days to check it out over the weekend. And the first time I rode over the studios the day it opened for Pop Century, I said, God, this is like a ride to the rides. Like, this is my first ride of the day. I'm not off to wait and go through the, you know, the touch points. I'm on a ride already. And I was incredibly to the studios in like 6 minutes from the time I sat down on the Skyliner, where, you know, if it was a bus, it would have probably been 45. You know, by the time to wait for the bus, get on the bus, drive over, get out. Yeah, it's an incredible perk for those Skyliner resorts. So now, digress, because you've stayed in a lot of deluxe resorts. Of course, Copper Creek, very deluxe. Did you? Because I kind of feel like Grandestino has more of a deluxe resort feel in the tower. Now, and I'll be in the, you know, non-tower rooms when I'm down here in a couple weeks for the 50th. And it's fine. But when I'm in the tower, man, I'm feeling a little fancy. That's how I feel how Grandestino feels.
The room, it does feel luxurious. Like, it has that same feel to me as a deluxe resort room. I like the spread, having a spread out resort, because then I can run in the morning, mm-hmm. which I know you can appreciate. So all three resorts, Wilderness Lodge was the trickiest to run at because the path is no longer, you can no longer do the path to Fort Wilderness. But both, you know, Grandestino with Coronado Springs and Riviera with Caribbean Beach make for a great run in the morning. And, you know, to get up before, you know, it's too hot. So I love that about Grandestino. And the feel of the rooms is incredible. We ate at Three Bridges the first night, which was amazing because it was open and we just took our time and it was really relaxed. So we loved that about it. And the other, I thought another nice perk about Grandestino is just you have this one building, so you can access a lot of things very easily. The bus transportation was the trickiest because you're sharing with all of Coronado. So you just have to sort of know that ahead of time. But otherwise, I'd go back there. All of us said we'd go back there.
When Coronado, and I'm saying the word when, it might be a decade from now, but when Coronado gets attached to the Skyliner, it is going to be the perfect resort. Like, because that's the only thing. Because that's my, like, it's like Ocean State Caribbean Beach or Coronado. Then it's like Skyliner versus Coronado, I think, is a little bit nicer resort overall because of the tower. But yeah, it's another debate for another day. But I agree with you. You know, you do have the bus to worry about. Not too bad, but it's not as efficient as the Skyliner. Okay, so real quick, Riviera. Did it meet your expectations? Totally new experience. What'd you think?
It was our favorite of the three. I mean, everything about it just, it feels like home. I mean, you're minutes from the Skyliner. The running was a huge plus for us. You have your own pool at Grandestino, and it's not super, or not Grandestino, Riviera. It's not super fancy, but it has everything you need. It's got a slide. And a highlight of our trip for sure, we were there 3 nights at Riviera, and we spent 2 nights there. We got to the pool like at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Like, we closed down Hollywood Studios, and then we went over to the pool, and I could sit and relax or get in, and the kids had a blast. They met a few friends, but it wasn't crowded. They could ride the slide. The lifeguards were chatting with us. And, you know, at the one point they knew my son by name because he was trying to figure out what he could get away with.
Stop running. Like, don't run. No, that
it's
was
the
me.
Running.
That was me as
it's
a kid. So yeah.
The running.
Oh, I can't help it, man. You're on vacation. When I was a kid, I got yelled at for that. I still do sometimes.
But I was a former lifeguard, so I'm really quick with the stop running or do this. So the lifeguards and I sort of had this bond then about like kind of keeping an eye on the kids, but in a fun way. So we closed down the pool at 11 o'clock at night, which was fantastic. And the fact that the pools are open till 11 is great.
Now, did you?
And they have a shuffle. Is it?
Did you guys play the bocce and all that stuff? Because I mean, the Riviera is just set up like it just looks fun in that general pool deck area right out there. It just looks.
The bocce ball we tried. It was new to us, but we had fun. My boys, after we closed down the pool at 11, they played chess with the big huge chess pieces to the point where my daughter had had enough. She went back to the room, and I was like, "Can I go back to the room and leave them here? Probably not the best idea." But they wanted to play the chess. And then one morning we woke up and we took it a little more relaxed and we did cornhole, which was fun. And they have a community room there, which another highlight, you know, on a rainy afternoon, they had, I think it was Parent Trap that was playing. And if you want some ideas for a quick, cheap souvenir, my daughter made pins for all, like a round pin. And they had different like stickers you could put on pieces of scrapbook paper. And she made one for each of her friends, which is, you know, at 13, you can relate. I know Mallory's the same age. Yep. They want to have a souvenir to take back to their friends, but it gets really expensive.
Tell me about it. I know. That's like, you got to have less friends. Some of them just aren't making the cut
option.
This time.
She sat in there, and at that age, she can stay in there by herself. So she sat in there for probably an hour creating these. We made Christmas ornaments. We made she made a water bottle as a souvenir. So a tip for anyone who's staying there, I think it opened around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a nice break and just a good way to have a little downtime and, you know, bring home a nice souvenir for not a lot of money.
And, you know, if you're a Walt Disney fan, just walk in there and just look around. Even if you're not going to participate in any of the events there, it's just there's a nod to Disney, Walt Disney himself kind of in travel. And I've been in there a couple times just to, you know, peek around and look, and I've seen people playing board games, backgammon, you know, it really is kind of what, when you see a movie of, this is like an 80s movie of a family on vacation, like this is kind of the stuff you see like people on regular vacations and doing, you know, like playing board games, doing crafts. I mean, that's, and it's cool that you have that option. I know a lot of people are go, 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 but then when people get home, it's just like you just said, some of the highlights of the trip are spent, you know, that kind of low tech, you know, family type stuff. I love hearing that. That makes me happy.
We actually said we could go there and not get park passes. we said we'd take the Skyliner to different places. We would spend time at the pool, in the community room, on that lawn area. So it's 100% a resort, I think, where you could easily make a resort stay, or if you have a down day, you don't have a park hopper or park pass for that day. Eat a great place to just pretty much do anything you want. Although we did not try your favorite sandwich. We did not make it to that restaurant.
That is Prima Piatto, that Madame Croaker. And I'm totally saying it wrong, but it's a breakfast sandwich. It's like ham and cheese with an egg on the outside on the top. I had two in a row, and I was like, I can't do this the third morning because I was only there for 3 days. Like, I can't. My heart cannot take this, even though I just ran 10 miles. No, it's like I'm canceling it out, but I need to go do a marathon. So, okay, real quick, Copper Creek. So talk to us about that. Then I want to talk about the theme parks and see what you guys did there.
We like Copper Creek too. Wilderness Lodge has a neat feel, I think. I think if I had my preference, I'd go there more in the winter just because I want to sit by those fireplaces.
I know,
but
totally,
it's 110 and you're like, oh, you know, do I really want to do that? So we like the Wilderness Lodge, but of the three, I think because of the summer and when we were there, we would probably pick the other two first. But I always love the Wilderness Lodge because you can get to Magic Kingdom relatively easy. You have the vibe there is, again, it's relaxed. It fits our family. And Geyser Point, so highlight good. For us every time.
So good. Especially, and you mentioned you guys were looking for outdoor dining, and that's probably like, if I was to recommend, somebody's asking me, you know, in your situation, Geyser Point, and also Three Bridges. I mean, you mentioned two definite, you know, and I've never been to Three Bridges, by the way. I was going to go the one time I was down there for Princess, and I was in my room. I was tired and I had on sweats and a shirt, like, you know, just an athletic shirt. And I'm like, I look like a bum. I'm not going down there. But then everybody I've talked to says, oh, you'd have been fine. And I'm like, oh, man, I missed out on, you know, a good dining experience because I was there by myself. I didn't want to, you know, go down by myself looking like a bum. But I am going to get there in a couple weeks.
Well, you have to get there. Totally. And Geyser Point, we actually, the first, I guess our second day when we had our first park day at Magic Kingdom, we spent the morning there and then we wanted to have lunch. So we actually, I think we took the boat over to Wilderness Lodge and we had a Geyser Point reservation. And the server also can make such a huge difference. And our server, Tyler, was joking with us and he was just, you know, so much fun. Actually, there was the ducks were there. So he was joking with us about the ducks that my children really wanted to feed, but they're like, don't feed the ducks, but kind of feed the ducks. Yeah. And then there was a bee, I guess, and my daughter went to swat it with her napkin and she accidentally threw her napkin into the bush. And of course she was embarrassed, but also laughing. And then Tyler walks over and he goes, here's a new bee swatter for you. Nice. And he gave her a napkin. And my kids are still talking about that moment because, you know, we love the food also. I don't eat meat, but my boys do. So they got these big, huge bison burgers. Yeah. And I think I had a crab cake. And it just is a – and we were watching the Olympics. The Olympics were on when we were there. So it was a fabulous outdoor dining experience and just 10 out of 10 that day. We actually went back later in the trip, and Tyler remembered us.
You know, I agree because, you know, even if you're not staying at Wilderness Lodge – I say when you're at the Magic Kingdom, especially if you're trying to make a full day of it, say you're not going to take an afternoon break at your hotel, go grab lunch over at the Polynesian or the Wilderness Lodge or Grand Floridian. Just get out of the park for like an hour or two to kind of decompress. And like when you're at Wilderness Lodge, it's so beautiful. You're outside at Geyser Point, but you're sitting, you know, in basically like little couches, outdoor furniture. It's so comfortable. TVs, nice breeze under the, you know, the canopy there where it's built. It's just, and it's, I mean, if you're not relaxing at Geyser Point because you're having good food, good drinks, you're not doing something right. It's because I love it there. I'm right with you. It's good stuff. So, okay, let's hop into the parks. You mentioned the parks. So looking back here, it's been a few months. What stood out is kind of some of the fun stuff that happened within the theme parks?
Well, there's a couple, I mean, I could probably talk as many of your guests for hours, but I'll just highlight a few special things that happened. We had never been to the Star Wars land. And I didn't grow up watching Star Wars, which I know is almost like something I shouldn't say, as the movies came out when I was, you know, probably the perfect age for them. So I had never seen them, despite my roommate in college having a Han Solo Harrison Ford poster on our wall that was life size. But I started, one of the actually perk of the, I don't know if that's the right word, of the pandemic was my kids and I all sat down and, thanks to Disney Plus, started watching Star Wars with Episode 4.
Good. That's the right way to do it. Good. Okay. Yeah, it's a point for you. Look at that. You're good.
All right. Always good to earn the Star Wars points. So we watched them all outside of maybe the, I think there's this one focusing just on Han Solo.
Yep, Solo.
Mm-hmm. And it was a little, we were a little slow to get started, but by, I don't know, the third one, episode six, my kids were very eager to keep going. So there was a lot of buildup leading into the Star Wars land, but the stress of those Rise of Resistance boarding groups, no joke. We're sitting at, I think we were at Riviera, maybe we were at Grand Estino, and we're sitting there, you know, with everything. I listened to all the tips, trying to get the boarding group, and my daughter was on her phone. I just recently gotten her for her 13th birthday, and I'm on, like, I've got a computer up with the time counting down. I mean, everything you all tell us
again,
to do.
Every time I hear this, this should not be, it should not be like launching the nuclear missiles, you know, to say like the Patriot missiles to take out the nuclear missiles to save the world. Like this is way too complex to get on a ride. I understand that we're in a situation where it's probably the best solution, but when people tell me it's like, I had the world clock on my computer so that I could, this is to ride a ride, people. But I mean, I get it. I do the same. Actually, I just look at my Apple Watch and I'm like, what'll be, you know, it's close enough.
I don't have a watch. So this was the option. And so, but we didn't get it. So I thought, okay, I know we've got 1 o'clock, but there was a little disappointment. Luckily, we had another Hollywood Studios day planned, but I kept thinking of your recent experience of not getting those 7 o'clock boarding groups. And by the time we were sitting there to get the 1 o'clock group, we're hot, we're tired. We hadn't had the best, you know, we couldn't find a place to sit and eat our lunch. So we just kind of were like, my son said, he goes, you know, Disney's supposed to be about like magical moments. This isn't feeling so magical.
It happens. Mom. Yeah, I get it.
And I'm like, you're right. But we got the 1 o'clock boarding group to keep all the listeners out of suspense. We did get it. And of course, we were sitting back where they had, I think they have that Incredibles meet when Disney had mm-hmm. it. So we were off to our own space, but there were plenty of other people doing the same exact thing. So as everybody talks about, you sort of hear the cheers, or I got it, or I didn't. And so we got it, and as soon as we got it, we were like, we're out of here. Afternoon resort break.
Yep.
We're done. But it was so nice. We were, I think we must have been at Riviera, because we popped back on the Skyliner to go ride it. They called our boarding group around 6:30 or so. And not to give any spoilers, because I know how important it was for us. We had done no research.
Yeah, we try to keep it, because there's still a lot of people who haven't had that experience, and I want them to have that first experience.
Me too, except for the boarding groups, which I had done a lot of research on. We had not researched the ride at all. And I'll just say, to experience that with my kids for the first time after watching all the movies together was a moment I'll never forget. And I'm not even a huge Star Wars fan, but it was unbelievable. And I didn't think a ride could have that feeling for me that way, and it was amazing. So great. I hope everybody gets the chance to do it, and just do it with someone who you care about, because it was just incredible to watch their faces. And I think my face was doing the same thing. So a huge highlight of the trip.
Yes, it is fun to see that stuff with your kids, and with just with love. It doesn't have to be your kids, but I mean, if you have a significant other that you're with, and you know, this is, you know, a lot of folks, man, they've grown up Star Wars. Even if you haven't, though, it's an immersive ride. I think that even if you didn't even see the Star Wars movies, you would enjoy it. But you kind of really, if you know a little bit of the Star Wars canon, it helps a lot. So well, I get it.
And I would advocate for, if you know some, because I would have, you know, a year ago gone in knowing nothing. And I'm so glad I knew something, because it just helps you relate a little bit more. But you're right. It's still an enjoyable ride no matter what. And definitely an experience. And we were fortunate to get the boarding group at 7 the other day we were there. And I'm glad I got to ride again, because you could just see new things. But there's nothing like that first time on that ride, or being with someone who it's their first time for. Really, really fun experience. So that was a definite highlight. And then one night, I think we'd been to Animal Kingdom during the day, took a park break, went to Hollywood Studios, closed it down, having a lot of fun riding Toy Story Mania over like 4 times in a row.
I just got to be there. Cause is that crazy now? Because it late in the day, you could just ride the thing over and over. Like 5 years ago, you had to like sell a kidney to get a fast pass to get on that ride. I remember running to that ride with the masses, and you would, cause I remember how it worked. This is paper fast pass day. Mm-hmm. You would run there, and I had everybody's little key to the world cards, and I'd get in that line being like, okay, I'd look around and be like, okay, who looks like they're expert Disney fans? I try to get behind that group, because you had to stick them in real quick, get your little paper out. Yep. And then it was like, okay, cause you had to do that fast, cause you want to jump in the standby and ride it rope drop. And then you get to ride a second time with your paper fast passes. And now the poor ride. And this is the good thing about the studios. It's got so many more attractions now that are exciting. But poor Toy Story Mania, because I saw that in your notes, like wrote it over and over. I'm like, oh my gosh, how things have changed.
Well, we had so much fun doing it. In fact, I think I rode with each of my children that night, and I only tested it one time. Like, you know how they have you test the ride, and my son's like, why are you not doing this? And I said, well, I'm saving up my energy and my thumb for when you really have to go for it.
But we're in the mine. This is going to pay off at the end of the ride. See, I'm old and wise here. That's what I tell my kids. I'm like, okay, well, I'm good.
That's
I'm
right. calibrated. So we had a great time. And I think we wished we could have ridden Slinky Dog. We only rode it one time when went in the morning and, you know, went straight there. But we did get a little scared off of the wait times. I should have listened a little more carefully when you all said it's about half the amount that's posted, which generally was true, but that Slinky Dog line just never goes down. And I think I'm team Fast Pass, although I'm not a huge fan of, I'm willing to wait and see. I'm a little nervous about Genie Plus, but I'm willing to wait and see how it plays out. But there was something to be said for just being able to wait in line, even though I was missing those paper. I still miss the paper fast passes.
Same, I know. Me too. I had that before. Well, because at the very end, they started enforcing the return times. But back in the day when they didn't return I'd just store them up. Like we'd go from 8 to 1, and then we'd take our midday break. And the thing is, because every hour I go get another one. And then when we came back that night, man, we were golden. We were just riding every e-ticket ride the whole night, had dinner, and it was just like we were, you know, rock and roll stars. It was awesome.
Yes. Well, we did the same thing. And so I still think I like the fast passes because we did only ride Slinky Dog once because it really was just a long wait. But the highlight that I was eventually getting to was when we closed out Hollywood Studios, my older two were tired. I mean, we had already done 2 parks. We'd had a resort break. And my youngest was like, I kind of want to go to Magic Kingdom. So I put the two on a bus to I think they were going to Grandestino Tower, and we popped on a bus at 8:30 to Magic Kingdom, and we headed back to, because we hadn't done the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad or Splash yet, and we headed back there, and we waited for Big Thunder about 20 minutes, and then we stepped off. I think there was a restroom break needed, and then we got back in line, and it was like 10 minutes, and the fireworks start going off, and he's 9, and his eyes are just lighting up. And I'm not a huge roller coaster fan, but back when it was just me with the 3 kids, well, it's still just me with the 3 kids, but he wasn't old enough to ride by himself. So I was like, all right, you just have to do this, Julie, get on Big Thunder. And now the memories associated with it, the fireworks are going off. He was so happy. And the other, of course, you know, they're texting me just so I know they're okay. And they're happy because they were getting a little alone time in the room. And it was magical. Like I will never forget watching the fireworks with him. And we rode it like 4 times. And then we look over and we see Splash Mountain is 10 minutes. And we pop on that. And I kind of wanted to see the fireworks, but the show like itself, but that wasn't where they were. And so talk about letting them plan. I was like, you know what? We've seen it. I don't have to see this. And these memories will last too. They'll be just as memorable for them. And that night at Magic Kingdom was getting on Splash Mountain in 10 minutes and riding Big Thunder with the fireworks 4 or 5 times in a row with his face. It was just, the transportation back was not the best, but
yes,
setting that aside, it was definitely a highlight for us of the trip. So I think it was the little moments, you know, we rode most of the rides we wanted to, I think we got on everything we wanted to do eventually over the week that we were there, but it was those little moments like that with that stand out to me. It was riding, you know, for me, it's riding the People Mover. Well, the Wedway. I don't even know the official name anymore.
It's People Mover again now. See, you hang on long enough, it comes back around.
Little things like that, you know, that were just enjoyable. Although, you know, we did get deterred the first morning. We were heading, you know, like everybody else to Mine Train. Go Mine Train, get on it. And actually, we did not get on that Mine Train that trip. But it was down and we're like, oh, we can't waste our time. We've got to go to wherever. And we got deterred and started on the Speedway. And I'm like, this is not our strategy.
Right.
You don't start on the Speedway.
Yeah, I know. This is breaking every kind of rule that I know. I know. I hate that because I've done that with people. And I'm just like, this goes against everything I tell everybody. And I'm totally dropping the ball. But it's because you want to do this. That's fine. Whatever.
But we got back on track. And I really did let them kind of dictate how we spent our time. And you know, the one day I think we ended up only going to the park to ride Ride of the Resistance. And then we headed to Downtown Disney and, you know, it was just little moments. And one night we were in Epcot and my daughter just really wanted a popsicle. She'd been seeking this popsicle out for so long. And so it was a certain one. I don't remember if it had Olaf on it, you know, something like that. And we spent time doing that, but it's a memory that we're just like, do you remember how we like walked a mile in Epcot just to get this popsicle?
Oh, I've been there. Yes. I've done that for my kids. Yeah. I know that every parent's like, yeah, I remember I walked all around Epcot and all around Crescent Lake looking for a Stitch plush for Mallory, but because the ones I could find this trip were like the gigantic ones. She was not getting that one that was like $60. It was as big as me. I was just trying to get her, a small Stitch. That's what she wanted. And like nobody had it. And I was like, I bet you they have it at Screen Door over at Boardwalk. Nope. And I was like, I went to Beach Club, Yacht Club. I was like, oh my gosh. And I'd already been around the whole, like I've been to Mouse Gear back in the day. I was all around World Showcase. I found it later.
I did that same sort of thing this trip on a search for a water bottle. I finally was like, okay, we decided on the souvenir we wanted, but I didn't get it right away because there seemed to be plenty.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I went back to get it.
Yeah, you always grab it. I've learned that. I used to wait. I'd be like, oh, I can go to World of Disney. They have everything. No, they don't.
Well, I went back to get it and I ended up doing just what you, I actually thought about you when I was doing this. I'm like, Mike would appreciate this story because I ran through the resort and then I took a bus to Hollywood Studios. Then I ran to Screen Door. I ran to the Beach Club. No one had it. I did end up finding it in a spot that they'd actually told me it wasn't. And so, but I thought, I'm like, I can't believe I've probably run 4 miles looking for this souvenir.
Oh, I can relate. I'm just saying I'm game. I've turned into team. If you see it, get it. I mean, cause I was always like, wait till the end of the trip, you'll see it again. No, you probably won't.
Okay. So.
Oh, I want to ask you though, cause I want to make sure we get all this in. So Nana left them gift cards, which if you've ever traveled with children, whether they're your own children, niece, nephew, grandkids, what have you, souvenirs are a big part of a vacation, and the thing is, a lot of folks ask me as a travel agent, like, how should I handle that for kids? And, I think everybody has to handle that their own way. Some people do it like, you get one small souvenir per day, or, you get one small souvenir from the Magic Kingdom that day we're there, and then one from Epcot, or I like the idea of the Disney gift card. I think for older kids, especially the age that your kids are in, that gives them some kind of autonomy to decide what they want with that money and also teach them the value of money too. I think that's very, very cool.
It was, I have to say, I recommend it to anyone with this age group of kids. And I actually had done it our previous trip, but a very small amount. So they had to be really careful, but I realized how much, like, they like having the control, as you said, of how they spend the money. And also then I don't start to panic about I'm buying a popsicle that costs 50 cents for $6.
Right.
So it took the stress off of both of us, or all four of us, I guess. And so if we were walking through the parks and they said, oh, I really want a popsicle, I was like, all right, you still have money. And the only rule we set, I set for them, so they each ended up having $50, which that was a lot to them. Different families might, and right. The last trip, they only had 15. So I really think you can make it work for any amount of money. But because they had a significant amount, I said, you have to buy one thing that you can bring home with you. So something, a water bottle, a shirt. Actually, they all ended up with some sort of drinking things.
God, it must be that age, because Mallory has so many water bottles. I am not kidding. She does cheerleading, so she takes them to cheer every, she's on two different squads. She uses them, but and she takes them to school too. I remember a couple years ago, it was like this Hydro Flask thing. It couldn't be a water bottle. I had to go like find this white Hydro Flask. And it was again, like the Stitch. I think she just likes to drive me crazy with this kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know what it is with like kids that age and water drinking vessels. It was like back to the Egypt times or something. You got to have like a bottle. Oh, that's so funny that you say that, because you should see our cabinet upstairs.
Well, and my middle son, who loves Star Wars, they all like it, but he really likes it. He ended up with the refillable tumbler, right. Which don't get the, I'm usually one who's a little more careful with my money, but for the tumbler versus the refillable mug, if you can get the refillable tumbler and you like Star Wars, it's a really nice cup. I would say go for that
because I'm the same way. I don't usually buy that kind of stuff, but I got the one for the Skyliner. It's the same one. It's just got a Skyliner logo because it was from that trip when the Skyliner opened. I was like, oh, and I love that thing. It's been, 2 years now, and I'm just like, that thing is gorgeous. It looks so retro. I love it.
Well, and my youngest, he picked out a Tervis Tumbler Riviera mug, which is, it has a Skyliner on it, I'm kind of, and my daughter made hers at the Riviera Community Room, and she put Mickey's all over it.
Nice.
I'm honestly a little envious, and sometimes I'm sort of hope they're using them daily, but sometimes I'm sort of hoping they'll forget and maybe I'll get to benefit. But the gift cards were amazing. You know, they like one of them wanted mints from the resort. Okay. You know, so it really worked out so well, and I think caused less stress for all of us. And they ended up with some really neat things. So, you know, it worked.
Okay. So let me ask you about a couple of dining experiences here. And then one other story from your notes. And I appreciate you sent some great notes, which is really helping me out. So you guys ate inside of Via Napoli. So you guys are very cautious, you know, trying to dine outside. You said you felt comfortable inside Via Napoli. So is that like a kind of the place that you and your family like? Because everybody likes pizza and it's really good pizza. But what were your thoughts on Via Napoli? We haven't talked about that place in probably 6 months.
It is a family favorite of ours. We must have started going there way back, when my kids were teeny tiny. And I'm probably not going to pronounce it right, but we love the carciofi pizza. It's got the sort of white sauce with the artichokes. And even when they were little, my family of four eats that big, huge, I think it's the Mezzo Metro.
Oh, yeah. So we
we always order that. And we were seated in the back part of the restaurant, so there was no one around us. And it felt comfortable for us. I don't think I would have been quite as, it would have worked for me for some people, but the community table was probably not our thing. Mm-hmm. But we were kind of out on our own. So it really did work for us to the point where we actually went back another time. And my tip for anyone who likes sangria, they have a sangria flight there. And I also had a gift card from a friend who says, I want you to do something special, like do something for yourself. So I got the sangria flight and we got our carciofi pizza and we just had the best time. The servers were wonderful to the point where they brought out that spicy, do you know, like the spicy stuff you can put on the pizza, like it used to be in shakers, but now they bring it to you on a plate.
You mean like the red peppers? Because I put that on that's on my pizza every time, except taco pizza. This doesn't work.
So I don't really do spicy, but my kids started a challenge with each other. So we were just laughing. Everyone probably thought we were crazy. Luckily, we weren't near too many people, but we just, every time we go there, we make a new memory. And I think we remember the old memories and it's just a special place for us. And the pizza's delicious.
It is. Oh, God. We're recording right at dinner time, too. This is hurting.
I know. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
It's like, I have to go pick up Riley from Columbia. I'm trying to think. We're going to get pizza on the way on Highway 70. Okay, real quick. One other thing. You went to Wine Bar George. So, again, this is a place I've never been to because, A, it's called Wine Bar George. I don't know George. And I'm not a wine guy. I'm from St. Louis. Like, I'm a Coke Zero dude. But everybody I talk to is like, forget the name of the place. It is awesome. You have to go. So I have this high on my list to check out because I like good food. It doesn't have to be fancy. But everybody's like, it can be fancy, but it's just good food. So do you agree with that? What did you think of that experience?
Well, and I actually was there and I won't go into it since I know we're running out of time and it's probably another trip report in itself, but I ended up in Disney another week on my own. My kids were with their dad and I was there to work. And then my niece joined me for a little bit, but on this particular night I was by myself and I also still had a little bit of my fun gift card money. So I went over to Wine Bar George and the atmosphere is fantastic. I just sat up by myself, sort of, you know, out of the way. And I just did appetizers. I don't eat meat. So I did these macaroni and cheese bites.
Oh, now you're really hurting me. Okay, now we're really going to have to stop this show. No, go ahead. It's just like, you hit me where it hurts.
Oh my gosh. They were that and like a burrata, like with tomatoes, burrata and a bread. And I had a glass of red wine and it was just perfect. And I've never really eaten solo very much. So I was a little nervous about how I'd feel, but it was fine and the food was delicious and I would go back there in a second because it doesn't feel fancy. Like if you're worried about fancy, it doesn't, you could make it probably feel that way, but I just went casually. And I think that was actually the night that there was no line at Gideon's and I walked in and I know that the listeners, a lot of your listeners, and I think it's Pam raves about the cookies.
Yep.
We tried them earlier in the week and they were good. But I was like, oh, it's no line. There must be a sign. So I went in and got a piece of cake. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, Scott raves about the cake. Everybody else talks about cookies. Scott's like, dude, don't get the cake. He's like, I'm telling you, the cookies are good. But if you don't get the cake, something's wrong with you. Because he is the that cake. On the cake. And I still haven't had anything from Gideon's.
Well, it's as big as my head, the cake. I mean, it is huge. It took me 4 days to eat, I think. And I'm a sweets person, so that's saying a lot. I got like a chocolate, and I'm not a huge cake person, but it had this peanut butter icing.
That's what he talks about.
Oh my gosh. Scott is right. It was incredible. So Wine Bar George, definitely a sleeper hit. I would go back there in a second. And I didn't have a reservation. I just walked in. And then the Gideon's cake, I would stop there for that. I don't know that I'd wait in a really long line just because, I don't know, I'm not much of a line wait person, but it is probably worth the line wait, actually. It was fantastic.
Oh, sounds so good. Okay, last little piece from this trip that I want to kind of wrap up with. You mentioned your niece, and you mentioned in the notes that she had an experience with Hall of Presidents, and it was kind of special because of the field that she's trying to pursue her career in. And, you know, we don't talk about Hall of Presidents here on the show much because it's not like an e-ticket attraction. You know, politics aside, you know, we don't get into politics at all on the show. We just all like to, you know, celebrate the good. So it's like the toy store. We have fun here. We can all, you know, appreciate each other's opinions and all get along. That's what I love about our show. There's no drama. But, you know, if you just take Hall of Presidents for what it is, it's kind of a celebration of how government works in the United States and the Autogo animatronics in it and just... You know, now you have Morgan Freeman with the narration. I mean, it's just like, you know, he's been God in some, you know, movies. It's like, it's perfect. Like, I love our country so much that when I'm in there, I mean, I'm the same way with American Adventure. I can't go out of it without crying. I'm a big wimp. But it's one of those things that it's moving. So tell us about your niece going in there, because it sounds like that was a special experience for her.
So she joined me in that second week. We were staying over at Saratoga Springs, and she did not have a park hopper. We just went to Magic Kingdom one day and Epcot one day. And the day we were in Epcot, I think it was, we had gone back. We'd spent some time there. We'd gone back to the resort and come back. And I knew she'd be interested in it, but we didn't think it was open because it had been down for, I think, to add in the current president. So I see an employee standing out there, a cast member. And I said to my niece, I said, I think Hall of the Presidents is open. And her face lit up and she's like, really, really? And she's newly turned 18. She's a senior this year in high school. And as you were saying, she wants to pursue government. The expression on her face is one I'll never forget. She started texting her parents and, you know, she wanted a picture like when we got inside with the seal that's there while you're waiting. And she was enraptured the entire time. And she just soaked it in the way you would want that attraction to be experienced. And to experience that with her was a huge highlight because she really, I mean, you would have thought she was, you know, scored the boarding group one for Rise of the Resistance.
Right. I love hearing that.
This was her Rise of the Resistance. So I never thought Hall of the Presidents would be what I'd be reporting on in a trip report, but she, I mean, even just when we were waiting for it to start, and I mean, she's like, oh, there's only a few minutes and, you know, till it starts. And then she's like, oh, they're coming, they're starting. And she was taking in all the different things around the, you know, when you're waiting inside the hall. And it was definitely memorable. And it, no matter, like you said, no matter your political, you know, stance or whatever, just to be in there and experience it, it's really moving. I mean, it gets you.
And I think it's so cool to think about, because I've gone on attractions just because, you know, I want to get out of the heat, you know, I'll go into Tiki Room, or I'll go into Carousel of Progress because, oh, here comes the rain, you know, and I'm not really appreciating it for what it is. But anytime you're in that theater, that could be somebody's, like you said, Rise of the Resistance moment. And that's what I love about Walt Disney World is that, you know, even for me, like it changes each trip. You know, some trips I'm more into, because we were down there around the 4th of July. So American Adventure, very special, you know, like it celebrates our country. You know, that's what's cool, because everybody has their thing. And, you know, as insignificant as a ride on, say, you know, you're over at Epcot and you're riding, you know, the Seas with Nemo and Friends. You know, it's just a little Omni mover about a movie that you've probably seen 10 times. Maybe you're just doing it to get out of the heat for a few minutes. But you know what? There's probably some kid on that ride at the same time as you that's going to be talking about that ride for a decade to everybody back home.
Yeah. I think she will. And it's kind of like, you know, how we might feel about Living with the Land.
That's the best ride of Walt Disney World now.
Well, right? I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's my Rise of the Resistance, maybe.
I was like, okay, we're good. You're right. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, real quick, because I got to wrap this up. We're going along. This has been a great trip report, though. Hopefully folks are getting out to getting their runs in, maybe cutting the grass, maybe driving down the road. And we've kept them company for a few minutes. Looking back at this trip, though, any like, you know, what are you going to remember this trip for? Kind of because it was a long trip. You had three resorts. You had a long time down there. But I mean, what's the story of this trip that you're going to keep with you?
I think just being able to soak it all in again with my family, like being able to do that with my kids and whatever the special moment was, whether it was simply swimming in the pool at night or, you know, my son eating his weight in chicken at Whispering Canyon Cafe,
right,
or, you know, just the little things and the appreciation of being able to, you know, and when I got to see Epcot Forever for the first time, and I did that on my own, and a veggie, veggie, fruit, fruit is forever something that I miss. I could have added that when instead of Horizons. So just the little moments, and I think a reappreciation by my children and myself for Disney again. I mean, we always enjoy it, but to see their excitement, like let's get a Geyser Point reservation, or, and just letting them kind of, it was okay if we rode one ride. It was okay if, you know, we changed up our plans and said, hey, we want to, you know, we want to try to do Toy Story Mania again, or we want to go to the pool, or, you know, just this, I don't want to say the simple things, but just those moments where, you know, the unexpected moments in a familiar, happy space for us, I think is what I'm going to take away.
That's a great way to say it. That's a great way to say it, because it is, for me, it's always the stuff that was never in the plans. It's never that fifth ride on Big Thunder. Even though Big Thunder's fun, it's always going to be, you know, your daughter dropping her ice cream that you got at, you know, the Plaza ice cream plant, and then a cast member coming in and being like saving the day because she was having a meltdown. Like, you know, it's always the stuff that's never in the plans that usually stands out. So before we get out of here today, do you have anything on the horizon? Like what's next for you or your crew?
I'm not totally sure. I always have a couple things booked because of the vacation club points. I think they have school off on President's Day weekend and they're with me. So I booked something tentatively, but I think it's going to depend on how I feel about the annual passes. I'm still trying to work through my emotions with that. I wasn't totally thrilled with the DVC options because of the blackout dates and the price. So we will definitely go back. I know we'll go back next summer. I'm not sure if it'll be a resort only stay or we'll, you know, I've thought, oh, maybe we don't even get park passes, but if they have a special experience going on, we do a night for that. We also like Vero Beach, so that might be, I have a couple nights reserved there, but I don't know if, you know, depending on what's happening in the world and in, you know, their activities, we'll see. So we'll be back next summer for sure. I'm not sure what it's going to look like yet or where we'll stay, but we'll probably try to hit multiple resorts and I'll have to come and share.
Absolutely. We managed it. And you know what? I just learned something. I should never ask anybody that's got teens and preteens in 2021 because you have no idea what tomorrow is going to look like. I'm telling you from experience. I mean, just having kids that age. Yeah. There's so much going on. Yeah. You can have the best laid plans and they're probably not happening. So.
But there will be a plan. I know we'll get back there.
Because yes, absolutely.
Part of the excitement for Disney with me is just thinking about and talking about the next trip.
Same.
Even if it's a little ambiguous of what it's going to look like. So
it doesn't have to be official. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you have some on the books, but I mean, even if it isn't on the books, it's in your head. At least it gets you to work the next day. Like, I got to work because I got to make some money so I can get back and make those memories. That's what it's all about. So I sure appreciate you taking the time and sharing this trip with us. It's been a ton of fun. And take care in Pittsburgh. So you guys big Steelers fans or do you guys do sports out there? How's that go?
Oh, we are. It's hard not to be a Steelers fan out here. So we are Steelers fans, although it doesn't make or break. I mean, I get it in the moment during the game, but it doesn't break me before. Or it doesn't, like, I can move on.
That must be nice. When Mizzou loses, I have a miserable week until next
Saturday. I'm not so good with the Badgers. I went to grad school at Wisconsin. So that's a little harder for me. But no, we're definitely Steeler fans and hope they have a good season and looking forward to the fall weather as we talked about.
Amen.
And have a safe trip up to pick up Riley. I know you'll be glad to have her back for the weekend.
And I will not put jump around here in the third quarter of this podcast, but I could. that's great. Julie, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today for all of your Disney trip planning needs. We'd sure love to help you out on your next Disney getaway, whether to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney. Swing by themagicforless.com, look at all the great trip planning tools there, and get some of the goodies. You pay the same price booking with the Magic for Less. You get concierge level service and goodies with many qualifying packages. So check them out today and mention the show when you fill out that quote form over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. One extra click sure means a lot to us. So bookmark it and click on it when you do that shopping. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you so much for allowing us to put this show out 4 times a week all around the world. Even Pittsburgh, as they say in the Muppet Vision 3D. Move that show to Pittsburgh. Hey, we're here today. So if you want to support us over on Patreon, we'd sure appreciate that. And you'll get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. Just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. I'm over at BeOurGuestMike. You can subscribe and follow the show on Facebook and YouTube as well. And of course, Sunday night, we get together. You, me, and Scotty G. We take your calls, talk Disney, and have a great time every Sunday night. Facebook and YouTube. Join us at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. We'll be waiting for you this Sunday night. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate you starting your week with us here on the podcast. Hope it's a great one for you. So for Julie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.